My guest hosted one of the hottest talk shows from the 1980s that now still people talk about. His life took him through politics, celebrity, music, and a lot of cigarettes, and that last item showed how he could really be a fighter as he faced lung cancer. Here to talk about what he's been up to and what he is going to be up to, we say good morning to one of my favorite people, Morton Downey Jr. Good morning, Mort.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Well, that's my question for you, because last time we really heard about you, Larry King was nice to give you a forum of when you were going through all your bad stuff. How have you been the last couple of years?
Well, by God, I'm still beating it. That's the important thing.
When we tend to talk about what life is like as someone goes through cancer treatment, I wanted to get from you, what's life like after the risk either goes down or goes away? What changes most about how you see things?
Well, the first time I got the lung cancer, it took out a quarter of my lung. And I said to myself, hell, I'm unstoppable. This isn't going to stop me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to beat the hell out of it. But there was that little lingering doubt that they had gotten everything out. And maybe it was left on my snout. And I thought to myself, have I beaten this thing or not? And then I said to myself, yeah, I got to go about thinking I've beaten it and letting the world know what an absolute idiot I was to start smoking in the first place. But, you know, when you talk about smoking, I smoke, baby. I mean, I smoked. Everything in my life was smoking. And for some reason, I didn't think I beat it. I'm sure you know the story by now. It's been told 1,000 times. But I did not beat it. I could not beat it. And I had to go back in again. When they went in again, they took out the rest of that lung, which left me with one half of a lung. Very difficult to breathe with. But for some reason, God just let me breathe on and on and on, brother. So I kept going.
Well, you got a message to deliver now. Maybe that's your mission.
I think it was a message, and it can get pretty boring when all you do is talk about illness. So I talked about wellness and about how you beat this stuff, about how you feel better, and how they wanted to go ahead and, just as a precaution, give me some radiation. Well, they gave me some radiation as a precaution. God, they screwed it up. And in screwing it up, my windpipe fell apart. So I had to have them build a whole new windpipe system for me. And that took about a year. And you really start to think, and you wonder, are you feeling sorry for yourself? And the answer is yes. You feel sorry for yourself. You wonder why you were selected to have this happen. And they took out the rest of another lung. So I was left with one-third of a lung to breathe with. And that's what I'm left with today. And that's what I survived with. And I'm doing pretty damn good, I'd say.
Well, you don't get stuck down in, I think, what a lot of people do, the what-ifs. You sit there and you start thinking, what if I did that? What if I didn't do that? And you dig a pit for yourself when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't do any good to go back and test what the hell, how stupid you were. You know you were stupid. Forget it. Move on, brother. Don't become so anal.
Now, you are by no means retired. You got a bunch of stuff in the fire these days. What are some of the things you're up to?
Well, let's see. I've got a new show that I've developed called Loose Cannons, which is really a Ted Koppel type show, but done with a little bit more meaning, in the sense that I'm not going to take a lot of crap. There's still, Chris, for some reason, people want to be overly polite and overly nice when they know they don't mean to be.
Yes, I'm very glad to have you on the show today, Mr. Brown. How nice to talk to you. Tell me, what's going
on? Who cares? Yeah, I'm happy to have you, Mr. Brown. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, all right? Let's talk about what's really bothering you. Why can't you, as a journalist, tell the truth? Why do you have to run around corners and play games? Tell me the truth. The American public knows that journalists are liars just like everyone else. We all lie. We all lie to get our point of view across. Whatever reason, it is a lie. Now tell me the truth.
Well, we saw that during, here's a good point of reference, the Screen Actors Guild strike. You didn't see any of the journalists cover that because all the journalists worked for the advertisers that were being struck.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And did it cost me a sponsor or two once in a while? Yes. But The one thing they did was say, Chris, as you know, they learned the truth. Or at least my truth, my idea of what the truth was. Was it always true? There's a big T and a little T. My T was always the little T, and their T was always the big T. And that's always the way it is.
Well, it's also a matter of having the respect of your audience and realizing you guys got a brain out there. Here's a lot of information. Do something with it, for God's sakes.
Yes. Don't just live in a locked up loop. Someone said to me, these guys are so smart. I mean, they've been around for years. They've been studying all this stuff. No, they're not smart. They're not smarter than you and I are, because they have lived their lives in a padded room, in a barely discernible room of fact, because they're getting their fact from other people instead of from experience. If I had life to live over again, and I think I'm going to have it to live over again, but if I do, I want to live my life as an observer, not as a participant. I lived the last one as a participant, and that's nice, but to live as a participant, you miss a lot of the observance.
You do have you have a much narrower view. We're talking with Morton Downey Jr. here on 1360 WNNJ. And I happen to know from an inside source that you are writing your autobiography.
Yes, sir. Well, actually, someone else is writing my biography.
Yeah, you're doing the talking. She's doing the writing.
Yeah, she is so great. She is so great. Oh, God.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can you concentrate on your life when you're staring across and looking at a gorgeous blonde writing your notes down?
She is so funny because... Chris, I know you know enough about me to know that I'm pretty outspoken, and I say to myself, oh, gee, don't be intimidated because it's a lady. Well, she is a lady. She is a woman. She's a friend. And to not be intimidated, you've just got to say what was on your mind anyhow, just like you do. I mean, you're famous for saying what's on your mind, and you do it, and you're one of the good guys because... You're not afraid to tell the truth. That's the whole secret. Don't be afraid to tell the truth.
And that goes for anyone listening right now. When you're in day-to-day life, don't put Mort and me in a different world. We're all in the same world, and the same idea applies to you as much as it does to Mort and I.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just that what is your analyzation of it? What is my analyzation of it? And after we're through, did we come up with the same answer? No. But... did we come up with the same thought process? Yeah.
I should mention, too, the beautiful blonde we're talking about is a name you'll be familiar with, Georgia Durante, who is helping Mort write his book, just as she has written one hell of a book on her own, Write the Company She Keeps. I got to give her the plug, otherwise she'll...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, she'll come back and hurt me.
That's better than a plug. That's a fact.
You're also, Georgia was telling me, too, you're thinking of getting your old shows together and putting them out on videos.
Well, I just regained control, Chris, of that show. It took me 10 years to get it back again. And, yes, we're going to take it. We've had a couple of offers from, I never know the name of that company. It's Thin Line, Gray Line, Small Line, No Line. But it's one of those. And putting out the best of Downey. And it's very easy to do because we had 507 shows. I never realized we did that many shows. That's a lot of shows, brother.
Yeah, that's not like doing a once-a-week half-hour sitcom.
No, and you remember, we didn't do shows on Billy Brown and his mother's wife's husband's cousin. You know, so everyone says, oh, Downey did this before Springer. Downey did nothing of Springer. I maybe did 10 of those types of shows. You know, my wife's mother's boyfriend. In love with her pet turtle. I maybe did 10 of those type of shows. My shows were Lyndon LaRouche, The Green Party, Anti-Semitism, how this is that and that is this. I did politically meaningful shows. I did shows that were meaningful as far as the economy was concerned. And, you know, on this show, on the Downey show, Chris, I don't want to become a bore, but on the Downey show, we had people arrested. We had people carted off to jail. We did all of those things, and they were real. They weren't fakes. Lyndon LaRouche came onto the show. We exposed him right on that show, as a guy who was taking money from people and as a candidate, and instead of taking $10, was taking $100. Had him arrested on the show, and he spent 8 years in jail. I mean, this is stuff we did. And now Ralph Nader ends up head of the Green Party. Nobody goes back and checks. What's the Green Party? Oh, my God, the Green Party. That was the party that was the Nazi Party in Germany just 3 years before and had been founded by his wife, Zeta Group.
You know what used to bug me? The Daily News used to do talk show summaries every day. You'd have Sally talking about teens in boot camp, Phil with the wearing the dress, and Oprah doing this. And there was Downey talking about finding possible solutions to the Central Park murder case, and you're the one getting all the crap.
I know.
I mean, what's wrong with this picture, boys and girls?
Well, because it was better for them to give me the crap, because then they got the attention. Yeah, so it's too bad it worked out that way. And I can remember, Chris, I don't know if you remember, someone said to me one day, you're going to, this stuff's going to kill you. How long do you think you'll be around? I said, 2 years. 2 years, that's all they can stand to this, because it's too tough on them.
Then you're on the mark.
2 years, almost to the month, is how that lasted.
Chris, I remember the day you first signed on before you went national, when you were just on Channel 9 in New York. That was the day of the mother of all stock crashes.
That's right, October 17th. Here we go. Let's crash, baby.
Who needs PR?
Oh, right. That was so funny.
Having been a member of the world of politics and the media, can you make any sense of what's happening in Florida?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Chris, everyone in Florida is lined up to have their 15 minutes of fame. And each one is afraid that they won't be the one who gets remembered. That is so sad. So sad. I was watching the Supreme Court thing. The only guy I really trust is Scalia, because he's such a he is such a loose cannon. I trust him. Ginsburg, I trust her because she's on the opposite side of the fence. So what's happening is, they're going to end up coming up, I believe. So far, I've called what would happen. And I called it in advance to the, as a matter of fact, to Adam Buckman of the Daily News. I think I've called it almost to the percentage point. What's going to happen? They're going to do a hands-off by saying that the Florida Supreme Court has every right to what would be the word that I don't? Words in their mouth.
What
do we say, interpret?
Interpret, oversee.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not a Rhodes Scholar either, but my thought process was it goes from the state court to either the state legislature or the National Congress, and then if there's still a mishmash, that's when the Supreme Court steps in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly. The Supreme Court is no smarter than the people, and the people are no smarter than the Supreme Court. I think that'll prove itself out.
Well, we'll be looking forward to, between the book, the video, the other projects.
I don't know what George has named the book, but we've already done, I believe, 180 pages of single-spaced interviews. And what's great is we will have stories in there that nobody knows about. We will talk about Biafra and the war. We will talk about things like that. We'll talk about the Kennedy situation that never was told. Stories that I know about because I live them, and nobody knows I live them.
That's right, unless you
never let anyone know that.
Because Mort has had a life that sometimes only, I think, James Patterson novel characters get to live. And Mort's done it in real life, so that's a book to look forward to. You know what you have to do? We got to get Georgia off the cigarettes now.
Oh, she's got to get off them. Not only that, got to get my wife off them.
What, your wife still smokes?
I have the most wonderful wife in the world, and she can't give it up. And it's the worst habit in the world. She can't give up her cigarettes. And someone said, would you still smoke if you could? God, I hate to tell you this. Yes. Yes, I would. how very sick of me. But it's the worst addiction I think that God has ever donated to mankind.
Take the words of Mort to heart, because he's lived it, so you don't have to. With his experiences, you can learn from them, and we can watch all the stuff from Morton Downey Jr. over the next infinite amount of time. Mort, I've had the chance to meet in the past at a couple of your tapings, but that was a lot of years ago. It's great to have you here. Stay healthy, my friend.
This has been a delight being with you, Chris.
Same here.
God bless you, my pal.
It's Morton Downey Jr. on 1360 WNNJ.